When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
All right, we've hit the noon hour, 12:01. Malusis with you, in for BT and Sal. You've got Alex and Dove across the way, rolling right up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Get into some other things over the course of the noon hour. Let's head out to Floral Park. It's Justin. It's the Fan. What's going on, Justin?
Louis, how are you, man? Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy New Year to you and your family.
Appreciate
it, man. Yankees, listen, I love what they're doing. They're getting better strikeout guys, whether it be a starter in Fried, the bullpen. They're getting better defensively. Would I have liked them to have signed Walker Buehler to a one-year, $21 million deal instead of the Red Sox? Yes, but I'm hoping Louis Heal turns out to be the stud they think he's going to be. Now, with that said, Moose, do you think they go third base or outfield as the last piece to bring back for this 2025 season?
I think they will go third base or second base.
Okay. So you think, do you think Jazz is playing second base or is he playing
third
base?
No, I think it depends on where they go. I think they can make the argument of having Chisholm, give him more experience at third. He's athletically inclined, got the arm, can be able to do it, just needs the experience. We're going to plug him in third base. I think he's more comfortable defensively, probably going to get the best out of him offensively if he plays second base. That's why I'd probably lean that way. But I think that's where there are options here when you're looking with the Yankees. They've solidified first base for at least the upcoming year with Goldschmidt. You know, he's better in the second half for the St. Louis Cardinals, former MVP in 2022. But that's where I think that's where I would go. But I think it really depends on where the marketplace is. But yes, the Yankees are not done.
So if you're Cash, before I go on the range of point I want to make, do you go back to Glaber at second? Do you go sign Bregman or do you trade for Arenado? If you're Cashman, what do you do?
I don't think Arenado's in the mix.
I agree. I hope not.
I don't think Nolan Arenado's in the mix.
I just thought he was because we got Goldschmidt. I heard they like best buds.
No, I understand that, but Goldschmidt's also got a good relationship with Judge. I would not think that the Yankees would go down that route with Nolan Arenado. Who are the other two? Glaber?
I would say, would you go Glaber at second, move Jazz to third, or would you go Jazz to second and sign Bregman?
Yeah, I mean, Bregman would be great. It's just a matter of, do you have the appetite to go out there and spend the kind of money that it's going to take to go get him?
I would. He's a winning player. Cash got to get over that 2017 stuff. I get it.
I'll tell you the guy that, you know, that I'd be most, outside of all of that, the guy that I think would be Sasaki. I'd be really excited about.
Gotcha.
Now, he's not going to cost you what Yamamoto cost you last year. You know, it's all the international pool signing money that they have. The Yankees allocated some of that money to sign. I think it was a shortstop the other day for $1.5 million, 16 or 17-year-old out of the Dominican Republic. So that's where I would look at if I were the Yankees would be, that's the guy. And they made their pitch the other day out in Los Angeles on Thursday, I believe it was just the same day the Mets did.
Okay. And then quickly on the Rangers, Moose. What is Drury's plan here? Because, like, I don't understand. This team was 12-4-2. He made the stupid comment, we're open for business, and they've looked like a team that doesn't even belong in the NHL. So what is Drury's plan here? Basically, get rid of everybody and not build anything here? Because, like, I was 2 wins away from going to the Stanley Cup with my son after Goodrow scored that overtime goal against Florida, and now this team doesn't even look like they're going to make the playoffs. So what is Drury's plan here?
Yeah, Justin, like, I think right now he's scrambling. That's why at the meeting the other day before they took on the Dallas Stars, they responded, they played well against Dallas, and then you saw the performance yesterday afternoon, the 12:30 start at Madison Square Garden against the Carolina Hurricanes. It's a great question. Like, this is where, you know, and, you know, Drury deserves a mountain share of the blame here. And I understand he's got his apologists out there and the like, and, you know, holding people accountable, and you know these guys have got to go out there and regardless of what's going on around him, they're still getting paid a ton of money. All of those things, that's all well and good, but you want to talk about a culture problem? There is a culture problem within the Rangers, and there is no question about it that the way that he handled Goodrow, and if you're you don't know to. You know, get around his no-trade clause. He put him on waivers, picked up the San Jose Sharks. The threats that he made to Jacob Trouba, that Trouba said after he finally got dealt to Anaheim, and he wanted him off the team. The fact that he couldn't move him last year at the NHL draft, and he was still on the team, and he was still the captain of this team, and everything was as public as he was. His wife works in the medical field, so he still had 1 year left on her residency. He just had a baby. He didn't want to leave New York, and therefore he invoked his no-trade clause. I think he had like a 12 or 15 team no-trade clause, and then all of a sudden, you know, Jacob Trouba was some pariah. So all of that has an impact. And if you think it doesn't, well, then you're a fool. Like, it, you know, sports are not played by athletes, especially when you look at the National Hockey League, where you're asking for guys to go out there and play banged up and hurt and with fractured feet and, you know, with lacerations, all of these things, get stitched up and go back out there. There's no better player to be around, professional athlete, more down to earth than the NHL player. But the NHL player goes out there, you know, for 82 games during the course of a long regular season, and you're asking them to lay it on the line each and every night in a sport. Even though fighting has been limited, it is still a very, very physical sport. And you deal being hurt, not 100%. And I understand that that happens in the National Football League and the NHL, but if once you ask guys to go out there and do it, and then you start to lose their ear based on the way that you treat guys that you no longer want, that has an impact. And that's why Drury had the, you know, the come to Jesus airing of grievances meeting down in Dallas last week. What's his plan now? I don't know what his plan is. Am I going to go out there and celebrate the fact that he traded a guy that was the former second overall pick in Kaapo Kakko for a bag of pucks, you know, out to the Seattle Kraken? No, I'm not. And you look at this Ranger team now, how many shots on goal did they have in the second period yesterday against Brind'Amour and the Carolina Hurricanes? What, one, two? They got off to a good start. Everybody on social media, Ranger fans, were celebrating. How'd they look the rest of the game? And where do you go from here? Well, get rid of this guy, get rid of that guy. That's easier said than done. So, yes, I mean, sometimes you reap what you sow. If you're Chris Drury, the president and the general manager of the New York Rangers, and you say to yourself, well, this is what you reaped. So now you've got to deal with it. So then how do you deal with it? What, Matt Redpe, who just got suspended for 8 games for his hit in Dallas, now all of a sudden he's going to be the solution to all this team's problems? Goodrow, winning player. How about this defense? Trouba, who was the only guy on that defense that would actually go out there and hit anybody. This team is as soft as tissue paper, reliant on special teams to go out there and score, and they're not emotionally connected. They can tell you all they want that they are, but when you watch them play on the ice, they're not. So how do they fix it? Well, it's go out there. I saw the reports like, Drury wants to go out there and make a big splash. For who? For who? They floated out there trying to get, you know, Brady Tkachuk from the Ottawa Senators. You know, they filed a grievance with the National Hockey League. Who are you going to go out there and get? Who exactly is going to change it? And I agree with you. That memo that he sent out, well, we're open for business, trying to get light a fire under this team. A team last year that won the President's Trophy. A team last year that had an unbelievable regular season. Yes, that fell short, got knocked around, beat up by the Florida Panthers in the Eastern Conference. Yes, I understand. We all witnessed him. We were all disappointed. The Rangers haven't won a Stanley Cup since 1994. That memo, that statement, that decision by Chris Drury put this team on this track where they are right now to go along with everything else. And there's not, it's not like you look at this group and say they are untalented. They are untalented. And you can fire Laviolette and say, oh, well, change the coach, change the messaging, all that. This is not Laviolette's problem. This is above Laviolette. This is a Drury problem. What's he going to do to fix it? Great question. Do I have a solution for you? I do not. Because I don't know what guys here that are getting paid an unbelievable amount of money, all of a sudden another team's going to look at them as being a possible potential solution for their team. What exactly are you going to get? Are you going to dump it all? You're going to say rebuild? It didn't work? Chris Drury got this job. They fired Gordon. They fired Davidson. And Chris Drury got this job because people were telling James Dolan around the National Hockey League, you've got too much talent. You should be winning a Stanley Cup. And they haven't even gotten to a cup final. Let's head out to Dix Hills. It's Harvey. It's the fan. What's going on, Harvey?
Hi, Mark. How are you?
How you doing, Harvey?
Pretty good. Happy holidays to us all. And we all have a lot to give thanks for. And it's nice that I caught up with you because, you know, I admire your extensive knowledge of sports, even though we disagree sometimes, okay?
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's what
that's the fun,
it's all
isn't
about,
it?
Disagreeing.
The fun of sports talk. I'd like to return to the draft from last year. I think we were both right, as it turns out. You know, a team, the Giants are a team, when a team starts competing for the number one pick, you know it's rock bottom, okay? And not the Super Bowl. So last year, I felt that the Giants should draft an offensive lineman, which was Ault at Notre Dame, and with one of the worst offensive lines ever in football, especially last year. And you thought that it was a great pick for Neighbors, and after the draft, right after the draft, I felt that the Giants, quote, that's my quote, had to draft a quarterback, and I love Bo Nix. I saw him with play a couple of games at Oregon, not that I'm a quarterback coach. Michael Penix, we saw yesterday, he has skills, okay? I think he was at Indiana and then 1 year at Washington. I never saw him last year. I think he was injured. And the Giants spent a lot of time with McCarthy. I'm saying the same thing this year. It may turn out okay. They may have their receiver in Neighbors, as you thought. You thought you're absolutely right. And I believe they still have to draft that quarterback. And since they may have that one or two pick, I think, and whether Water Sanders is the best, I have no idea. They have to draft a quarterback. Must.
Yeah, well, they're going to have an opportunity, Harvey, because they're probably going to have the number one overall draft choice. I also think it's, you know, sometimes quarterbacks, I think, the fact that Sean Payton fell in love with Bo Nix, I think it's going to be very, very beneficial to Bo Nix. As an organization, you got to go out there and believe in the player and believe that you have the right system. So if the Giants didn't necessarily believe that about Bo Nix, so be it. And he landed in the right spot. Payton was happy with him, loved his experience, loved the fact that he didn't have a ton of negative plays collegiately, loved his leadership ability, and thought he could make it work, but it's also the way that you develop said quarterback as well in order to try and get the best out of said player. Let's head out to Beacon Falls. It's Mike. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, happy holidays, Moose. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Michael. How are you, buddy?
I'm well. Thanks for asking. It's been a crazy season of football. Did you see what the rookie out of Washington did yesterday? Threw a pick, came back and won the game?
Yeah, Jaden Daniels. Yes, he's very good. Very resilient.
Yeah.
Yes, they love
him.
Yeah.
I mean, I can only imagine that division next year. Shador, Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, Jaden Daniels. I think it's going to be tremendous if the Giants go that way and if they get lucky enough to get him. I mean, I know there's a circus around him in New York, but, you know, I think he's won. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I think it's either Sanders or Cam Ward. I mean, I do. I think you got to let
the
draft.
Ward?
I think he's more athletically gifted than Shador Sanders.
I haven't seen a single game of his all year. That's why I asked.
Oh, at Miami? Yeah. He's got a kind of a three-quarter arm delivery, but he's got a cannon for an arm. He can beat you a little bit with his legs.
Just need to coach.
Shador Sanders is not the athlete that Cam Ward is. But yeah, I mean, if it ends up being Shador Sanders going number one overall, Deion thinks so. Said on a podcast last week that he thinks his son is going to go first overall. And if he ends up being with the Giants, I think he can be successful. I think he's very, very accurate. I think he showed you tremendous toughness, but he's more of a pocket passer than he is a guy that's going to be able to go out there and run around like Jayden Daniels can, like Lamar Jackson can, stuff like that.
This guy Penix, I mean, people said he had a great game. I mean, I thought it was okay. I mean, you know,
It was his first NFL start.
It wasn't
start.
His fault, to be honest. I know. I understand.
I mean, it was his first NFL start. He had a soft landing spot with the Giants. Penix can really throw it. He could at Indiana. He did at Washington. Went to the national championship game last year. Lost to Michigan. I think as long as they get out of his way and they don't interfere with his progression, I think Michael Penix can have a successful NFL career.
Well, I think they'll need a new coach for that, but, you know, that's a discussion for another day. I think the Bills are going to win it all. I think it's their year. That's where I'm putting my money on this year. I don't know. I mean, it's competitive. What are your thoughts? Who do you think is winning it?
Who do I think is winning it? I think, and mind you, I like the Jets before the start of the year, so that's not going to work out. For some reason, even though it's going to go through Kansas City, I don't think Kansas City gets there. Yeah, I could see Buffalo. I could see Baltimore. Baltimore's defense, especially back end, secondary, concerns me. I kind of like, I think it's either the Packers or the Eagles in the NFC getting through. Let's head out to Indian Hills. It's Tim. It's the fan. What's going on, Tim?
Hey, Moose. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
thanks for taking
Tim.
The call.
You got it.
I think with the Rangers, I think the problem started once they signed Shesterkin. With their goalie coach, Benoit Allaire, he's made every goalie that's ever been there really good, if not great. And then they just kind of lost a trading point. They could have gotten rid of Shesterkin and gotten a lot back for him with his contract midway through the season.
Yeah, so you're talking about they give him the $92 million contract. I think it was right around the same time they got rid of Jacob Trouba. The problem started before that.
Yeah, but what do you have to trade now? Who do you have to trade? Why, you know, that you're going to get anything back for?
But Shesterkin gives you – why would you trade somebody that is the greatest at what they do in the greatest league and say, I'm gonna get rid of that guy?
Because I think Benoit Allaire can make an average goalie really good. You saw it with Talbot, and I forget who the other guy that he got rid of, but he made Quick. He brought Quick back, and Quick's looked great. I just think overpaying for a goaltender, I think, is not the right way to build a team.
Well, that's fair. We can agree to disagree there. I have no issue with going out there and paying Shesterkin the kind of money. Now, the issue is that you hit upon it. In a salary cap world in the National Hockey League, it makes your job a lot more difficult. So the fear that you have is the window is starting to close. Or especially with the way that the team has played as of late. They've lost, 12 of their last 16, that the window has closed on this group based on everything that you've seen this year. And you have every right to believe that, but if you want to say, well, I want to go in a different direction, I'm going to get rid of Shesterkin, and I want to get accrue picks and young players and do that, well, I'm not going to trade somebody that is fantastic. And Shesterkin is fantastic. He's the best at what he does. That's the guy that I want to keep. Now, as far as the rest of the group and the regression we've seen from the others, well, that there's a number of reasons why you've seen that this year. And we ran through a couple of those reasons a couple minutes ago.
Talk about your Giants on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 12:26, Malus is with you on a Monday midday. I'm going to play some, I'm here today, tomorrow, Thursday, some holiday music. I was asking Dove, he's like, what, you want to send me a list? I was like, yeah, whatever you'd like, whatever you'd like. He's like, well, I don't really listen to Christmas music. I'm like, well, that's a fair point. I'm like, I like it all. So whatever DJ Dove figures out the next 2 days, I'm okay with. Does that work?
We'll find out.
I'm sure it'll be great.
I warned you.
I know you did. I know you did.
What did I tell you?
Is this going to be a regret for me, you think?
We'll find out about that also.
Is this going to be a regret? Should I send you a list? Do I need to send you a list?
That would be the safe move.
The safe move would be sending you a list? Like, how many songs do you need on the list? 20, 30?
Yeah, 30 is good.
30 songs? I got to get you 30 songs. All right, I'll send you a list. I'll send you a list. I don't want to have regret. I live with enough regret in my life. I don't want to have more regret. So 30 songs. You need 30. I'll get them to you, Dove. That's the next couple of days. Happy holidays, one and all. Dove keeping it real. Anthony in Harlem, up next on the Fan. What's going on, Anthony?
Moves. Merry Christmas, buddy.
Merry Christmas, Anthony.
I got to give you a compliment, bro. You, in all of the sports talk I listen to, podcast, you are the closest thing I hear to that Mike Francesa, bro. You could talk any sport with any person at any time.
Well, I appreciate that, Anthony. That's a huge compliment. Thank you.
Maybe because you worked with him all those years.
I did, yes, no doubt about it. Yes, Mike and Chris, the best. Best to ever do.
So, the Jets, man. It's not easy being a fan of this franchise. But I'd like to just kind of, you know, this hit piece from The Athletic, and it's the third one they wrote on the Jets and Rodgers. It's coming from Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh, right? Like, that's who it's probably sourced from, telling all these tales. So, my thing is, you know, like...
Hold on a second, Anthony. Like, I interviewed Rosenblatt yesterday morning right here during Football Sunday. I've interviewed him on TV on PIX. And they made it perfectly clear. It was more than... I think it was around 20 people they talked to. And Zach yesterday said it was, you know, executives that are still working within the building. You know, that are frustrated, that are bothered, that, you know, want to see the team be successful, the organization be successful. So the whole idea that it's just a disgruntled former employee and that it's just Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh wouldn't exactly be truthful.
Okay, well, you know, did Joe Douglas, this is my question then, did Joe Douglas have full football autonomy in the first 3 or 4 years of his tenure, would you say?
Anthony, for sure. Listen, Douglas wasn't good enough. No one's defending, like, here, everything can be true, right? Douglas isn't good enough. Saleh wasn't good enough as a head coach, and there still can be dysfunction within the Jet organization led by the owner, Woody Johnson. All of that can be true. It doesn't have to be one way or the other.
This is the question I would love answered, and no one can answer. When Joe Douglas, like, his unforgivable sin, in my opinion, was the Zach Wilson pick. That doomed the franchise. That got us to the Aaron Rodgers. Because, Moose, I've said this to anyone that would listen, that was arguably the worst pick in NFL draft history. Because not only did you have Sam Darnold on your roster as a fifth-year option, but he turned down 2 firsts, a second, a third, and a fifth for that pick. And that's how we got to where we are, the Rodgers fiasco, and maybe Woody and Brick Medlin. Because when he made that pick, Brick was 12 years old. That was what got us to this point. And that was all, I have to think that was mostly Joe Douglas. I would love to know Woody's take on that, what he thought of Sam Darnold, and what he thought of that whole thing.
Well, Anthony, like, and Darnold's had a revolution of a season this year with the Minnesota Vikings. I think, you know, he's also got players around him. He's got a coach and a head coach and, you know, Kyle that's really, really good with quarterbacks and putting them in the proper position to win. Offensive line is pretty good, can run it, obviously, with Aaron Jones. And he's got one of the best receivers in the National Football League in Jay Jettis, Justin Jefferson. So Darnold's had a really, really good year. And there were times and there were reports out of San Francisco last year when, you know, he was with Shanahan and the 49ers where he would outplay, you know, Brock Purdy in practice or outperform him in practice. He might say, well, it's just practice. There's no doubt that Darnold's got talent, athletic ability. The question is in between the years, the game slowing down and all those things when you're looking at Sam and not turning the football over, something that haunted him during his tenure with the Jets and something that haunted him his final year at USC as well was him being turnover prone. Yeah, Douglas fell in love with Wilson. It was a terrible pick. It ended up being a terrible pick. What he did at BYU did not translate. You know, and that's it. Some of those unbelievable off-platform throws, as some scouts said, well, let's see him try that in the SEC. If he tried that in the SEC and was playing in the SEC, he would not have been the second overall draft choice. Yeah, it was a terrible, terrible selection. Did it set the franchise back? For sure. Was that Douglas's selection? Yes. Yes, it was. Ed in Marlboro, New York. What's going on, Ed?
Hey, how you doing, Mark?
I'm doing well, Ed. How are you?
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Who do you think is going to be the pick? Who do you think the Giants are going to pick if they do pick one?
What would my lean? My lean right now would probably be Shedeur Sanders.
Okay. Do you think Deion's going to want to get involved?
No, I do not. I do not.
I think he wanted to go to the Raiders, so he was out there. But
no, I mean, Deion was on a podcast last week and said he thinks his son is going to be the first overall draft choice. He thinks Sanders and Hunter are going to go 1-2 in the draft. That's what he thinks. That's what he believes. So, do I think Deion's going to get involved? I do not. Do I think whatever? We all have seen it. The Giants have been out there a number of times, out to Boulder, Colorado, and it's not just this year. You know, the NFL team scout players and have, you know, books upon books, ledgers upon ledgers of guys each and every year that they've played college football to go back and look back on. But when you look at Shedeur Sanders, yeah, they've been out there like 3 or 4 times. It's been well documented. I think you had video of Deion like dapping up, both Joe Shane and the assistant general manager and others with the Giants out there in Boulder. So that's where my lean would probably be right now. There's reports that the Giants are also interested or do like Cam Ward coming out of Miami. You want to be in the position. The biggest thing is you got to draft the right guy, whoever it might be, Sanders or Ward. That guy's got to be obviously the right choice. It can't be the wrong one where the other guy then turns out to be great. Staten Island we go. It's Chris. It's the Fan. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, how we doing?
Good, Chris.
All right. I just wanted to hit on what the caller said earlier about the potential trade of Shesterkin and how the re-signing maybe wasn't the best move. I mean, if you look at goaltending in the NHL, especially goaltending that's won Stanley Cups recently, you don't really need the best goalie. You definitely don't need a $12 million goalie. And I think the Rangers really handcuffed themselves with that extension. They don't really have many other contracts or any valuable trade assets they could even move at this point. And Shesterkin would have been a good way to get a lot of stuff back for a guy whose contract expires in a year.
Yeah, well, Chris, that's fine. I agree to disagree. When I have something that's great, I want to keep great around. We watch it year in and year out with Henrik Lundqvist, right? Was it Lundqvist's fault that this team never won a Stanley Cup? They went to one cup final, lost to the Los Angeles Kings. Was he great? Did he make up for failures in other parts of the roster? He did based on his brilliance. That's what Shesterkin can do. Let me ask you, the other night, was he the best player on the ice in their victory against Dallas?
100%. But the thing that really, I think, is where they dropped the ball is Shesterkin now is making $3.5 million more than any goaltender in the league at the moment. So he reset the market.
I get it.
Was paid a fair salary, and he did produce. And Shesterkin is the greatest goalie in the league at the moment.
Well, if Drury is as good as he thinks he is, he should be able to build a team around it. No.
Yeah,
you've had Shesterkin on the cheap up until this point.
Right, which they were unable to take advantage of.
Now the pressure's on. Now that's the big time question, the big time concern when you look at the Rangers is now it's on Drury to be even more creative. Because now you're paying him. Just like in the National Football League when you have the quarterback that's under the rookie contract, right? And everything's easy, right? Everything's easy. Well, then when you have to pay that quarterback in a salary cap world, then it becomes a lot more difficult. Then you need that quarterback that you're paying $30, $40, $45, $50 million to make up for some issues in other parts of the roster because you can't pay everybody. Same thing now rings true, you know, in the hardline cap in the National Hockey League where now it's even on Chris Drury to figure things out. Because the window and the opportunity when Shesterkin wasn't making this astronomical number, well, that window is closing.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
.43 on this Monday afternoon, holiday week, Melusis with you, in for BT and Sal. Rangers Devils getting going at 1 o'clock. Just saw Chris Kreider, a healthy scratch for the Rangers. Smart, makes sense. Fantastic by the Blue Shirts. Really cooking with gas. New Hyde Park, Alan the Fan. What's going on, Alan?
Mark, you're back where you belong. You know that. You're right back where you belong.
Thanks, Al. What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, you know, I'm trying it with the Rangers first, and then the Yankee comment. The Rangers have joined the ranks right now in New York sports as the third most boring watch behind the Jets and the Giants. You know, we can't go back in time. But if you remember, I mentioned to you back in the playoffs that I would trade Kako if we could have done it on reports for Yentl, which he didn't do, and that would have been the better choice instead of the two guys he got. The guy that scored last night to win the game for Carolina and Weinberg. He can go all out to bring this team a chance to potentially win last year's Cup. As far as the timeline, listen, timelines run out. These players, from what I can see when I do watch, have given up on this moment in time right now. I don't know if it's because of, you know, you mentioned about Goodrow, Trouba. As far as Trouba goes, the Rangers defense reminds me right now of Harry Howell and Dale Ralph. Not that they were on the same unit at the same time, but that kind of a time period when the defense is not hitting anybody and has no force. So we got a big problem there. What he might do from this point, as you said, I really have no idea. I don't know if he does either, but listen, as far as this Rangers team goes right now, so I mean,
the Rangers leadership right now listens to, you know, Laviolette and Drury like my kids listen to me, which is they don't.
Mm. Right.
Like it's,
that's right.
And like,
exactly
that,
right.
I mean, that's basically it. Like, you know, and last night I was, you know, frustrated. I was trying to get my two kids to sleep, two of them, right? And my two, Gregory and Paul, I was trying to get them to sleep, pleading with them, right? To please lay down. Frustration, like it was like a 12 on a scale of 1 to 10. Please, it's 8:45. Like, Christmas is around the corner. Like, we got to get ready for the holidays. All these things. Daddy's got to be up early. I'm driving down to the city. All these things. And they're like, Daddy, why are you so frustrated? Because you don't listen. That's why. Because you don't listen. Please listen. I'm trying to guide you. Like, I've been through this. I don't remember when I was 8 years old, but I've been through this, right? I went to bed. Right. Can you please just lay down? You have a, you know, beautiful bed to lay in. Lay down. Go to bed. Get your rest. You grow when you sleep. Your brain needs it. All of these things. They don't listen to me. Like, they don't. They think I'm a buddy. Like, and that's what my wife tells me all the time. So that's where this Ranger team is. This Ranger team is basically in a situation where, you know, they're not listening to the leadership from above. Not saying that they're great leaders. I'm probably a better dad than Drury is as a president and GM, now that I think of it. But still, you get the point.
But they're professionals and they're paying a lot of money. They should know how to play the game, whether they're listening or not. Listen, thank you for your comments and listening about my Ranger rant, which I didn't get crazy about. For the Yankees, though, I just want to tell you, I'm in my mid-70s. On the Soto deal, I just want to say, you know, having seen him play, I will miss that. The theatrics and what he did and what he brought to the game, I will miss that. I did buy tickets when they come into the stadium to go with my son to see how he's treated there. But I like what Cash has done. These two pitches, I mean, I got to tell you, I think he pulled some rabbits out of his hat for who he received and what he gave up. I've always wanted the guy we got from the Cubs, Bellinger. I mean, obviously his father, etc. And I thought I read today that did they get Goldschmidt from the Cardinals for a 1 year deal?
Yeah, $12.5 million. Yes.
Well, that's not terrible. That's not terrible.
No, he's 37. It keeps him in the race for.
Listen, he's 37. Listen, I was into trying. Listen,
but they,
I was but into trying
they missed
to
out
see.
On Christian Walker, the modern day Lou Gehrig.
Well,
the Yankee
listen,
fans
they
were
missed
all
out. They missed out on it. But I'll tell you this too. Based on that trade, if now they have that, I think Arenado, if I'm saying his name right, I think he wants to come to the Yankees. I haven't spoken to him, obviously, but from what I can just put together, he denied Houston. I think he wants to come here, and I think he's pretty tight with Goldschmidt. If they can trade, what's his name, the pitcher that we got, you know, Stroman. That was the deal. That's what I kind of read, that would be the trade. They're both 33 years old. If Cash
yeah, declining
can
results. I'm not huge on Arenado. I mean, I wouldn't quibble about it. Listen, the Yankees have done, and Alan, thanks a lot for the call. They've done a nice job pivoting. you know, not every move is going to be the greatest move in the world. Did they overpay for Max Fried? Yes. Do you get concerned about what he's going to look like in year 6, 7, 8 for sure? You're trying to win a World Series. You got there this year. You got embarrassed by the Los Angeles Dodgers, you know, and then you end up losing Soto in the offseason. And I've said it time and time again, whether it be on radio, TV, social media, it doesn't matter. You know, I said it walking out of the building after the Yankees got eliminated Game 5 against the Los Angeles Dodgers when Soto met with the media for 30 minutes and addressed what his free agency was going to look like, that I thought he was going to go, that he was going to sign for whoever had the biggest offer. I mean, that's it. Let's not make it out to be more than it is. Like, that's the thing that I think infuriates, you know, probably Yankee fans. It is a statement signing by Steve Cohen and the Mets. The Met fans should go out there and celebrate and enjoy it. There's a new era of New York baseball. All of that is true. Like, it's entirely changed. Like, the Yankees being the team that was going to, you know, push around the Mets. You know, the Met fan calling up, as they famously did, calling, you know, Fred Wilpon, Freddie Coupon. I mean, all the things when we were having debates about what the Met payroll is going to be year in and year out. Are you actually going to spend like a major market team? Like, all those conversations have come to an end. You know, Soto went to a spot where, you know, if his career trajectory continues, he could retire probably as the greatest Met of all time, Met position player of all time. When you look at the true value of the deal, I mean, it's a significant difference between him and the Met, between the Mets and the Yankees, and he got paid a boatload, and he was in the prime position of being, you know, a 26-year-old, unbelievable offensive player that will be great with the Mets, just like he was great with the Yankees, just like he was great with the Padres, just like he was great with the Washington Nationals, and this was the guy that the Mets had eyed for well over a year, and the Yankees entered a conversation or entered negotiations where, in the end, you know, he was going to have to take less to become a Yankee or stay a Yankee. And that was never going to happen. And it's, so be it. Like, it's okay. Like, that's it. You lost the battle. And that's fine. But, you know, Yankee fans now want to go out there and diminish what Soto is as a player. Don't do that. He's great. Like, Juan Soto's great. He is. That is an unbelievable signing by the Mets. And he will be an unbelievable player for the New York Mets. And congratulations to Steve Cohen. Let's not minimize him. Be like, well, he's not great in defensively in right field, or he doesn't run the base as well, or minimize. No, he's an unbelievable player. And the Yankees gambled for it on a year to try and win a World Series, and they fell short. In embarrassing fashion, but they fell short. Now, what they've done now and what they're going to try to do to replicate his production in the aggregate, well, we'll see. Did they need any more swing and miss pitchers in the bullpen? They did. They add Devin Williams. That's a tremendous trade by Brian Cashman. Max Fried in the short term is going to work. Do you want him to stay healthy? You do. Goldschmidt for a year is a good gamble because it keeps you in the Vladimir Guerrero sweepstakes. You look at Bellinger. Is his lefty swing going to work at Yankee Stadium? It will. Are there other issues that need to be resolved with this team? For sure. And the market is not closed. But Soto was, you know, a big-time slap across the face for the Yankees organization and for Yankee fans. And Met fans have every right to rub it in to the face of Yankee fans. It is what it is. There are going to be battles that the Yankees win. There are going to be battles now that the Mets win. The fact is that they're on an even playing field. Or financially, you'd give the edge to the Mets. And Juan Soto did what everybody else, if they were in that similar situation, would do, would be what? You want the most money. Everybody's looking to make more money. It's not a knock on him. It really isn't. He wanted every single last dollar. Now, you look at other guys, does the Yankee history mean something more to them? Yeah, for sure. To Soto, as I've said time and time again, it meant nothing. And he will go to the Mets. Just like he had a huge contract year this year for the Yankees, I have no doubt about it, even after getting paid, that Juan Soto is going to be great as a New York Met. West Palm we go. It's Brian. It's the fan. What's going on, Brian?
I enjoy talking to you. You know I'm a Yankee fan. I think we're going to get – I like the Yankees to get Bregman. What do you think for third base?
Yeah, it'd be great. I mean, his market, obviously, the Mets are in on Bregman. The Yankees have been rumored to be in on him. I don't know if the Yankees are going to spend the kind of money it's going to take to get Bregman, though.
Okay. On Deion, I went to, you know, I played baseball for Florida State. Deion's going to leave Colorado. He's going to become the next coach of Florida State.
Oh, that's what you think?
Yeah, I talked to a lot of people in Tallahassee, and they think that his son's going to be in the NFL. He's going to leave and go back home to FSU and become the Florida State coach.
No, it's interesting. I mean, you know, he was up for the job a number of years ago, and Florida State decided to go in a different direction. I don't know where. I mean, Deion's great for college football. He's great in an NIL world. There's no doubt. You know, he's the head of Colorado football. He's got a very, very good coaching staff out there, and what he does for his players out there is phenomenal as well. So, I mean, Hunter's going to be great in the National Football League. We'll see what his son is as a quarterback as he goes from college football to the National Football League. We'll see. Do I think, I'd answer you this way, do I think Colorado's his last landing spot? I do not. So would it be surprising if at some point in time he ends up back at Florida State down in Tallahassee with the war chant and all that? No, that would not be all that surprising.